Hello, listeners, and welcome to Effingham Talks. We are your hosts, Frank Norris and Tommy Morgan, broadcasting from beautiful Stillwell Pines venue here in Stillwell, Georgia. Folks, if you're looking for a spacious new venue in Effingham County for your next event, please check out their website at www.stillwellpines.com, their Facebook page, Stillwell Pines Event Venue, or give them a call for a tour, 912-665-2631. We want to thank you for joining us today, along with our guests, District 5 County Commissioner Phil Kiefer, School Superintendent Dr. Yancey Ford, Effingham Navigator Founder and President Pauline Shaw, and owner and CEO of Metal Clad Industries, Andy Hudson. Super excited to have you all here. How's everybody doing today?
Great.
Great.
Good. Good. Mr. Kiefer, we're going to start off with you. Tell us a little bit about your position and responsibilities as a commissioner.
Pretty much you name it, anything under the sun. It's a very busy, busy job. It's more than what people see on the surface. Most people think it entails a couple of meetings a month, hearing controversial issues, and that's part of it, but it's so much more than that. It's the daily involvement, planning. There's just a lot that goes into it.
A lot of time taken up that people don't realize.
Especially when we're faced with an event like the last week.
You're not on a time clock.
Not at all. Not at all.
So it's not uncommon for you to leave the office, the commissioner's office after 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, that's very, very common. Very common.
And your phone never stops ringing.
I never turn it off.
Good. Hey, one of the things I want to touch on is with any area experiencing growth, there's development. One department I'm curious about is Parks and Recreation. Could you share some information on the expansion of Parks and Recreation in the county?
Yeah, we have a pretty robust plan of expanding Parks and Recreation. And by that, we're not talking, we are. It includes organized recreation, but it includes passive recreation, outdoor activities. This year and into next year, we'll be ready to begin the work on several of the smaller parks that we're redoing in the county. In the spring, we will send out to bid the next phase of Clarence E. Morgan Park. If you've driven by, you've seen the work going on at the gym. That portion is expanding, but we'll actually be adding rectangle multi-purpose fields will be included in that next phase. And then once we're done with that, we'll roll right into Sand Hill. We have to do Clarence Morgan before Sand Hill because Sand Hill, we're going to have to shut it down completely.
Right.
To redo and expand that part. And so we need to make sure we have Clarence Morgan online.
Right.
So we're doing Clarence Morgan first. As soon as that's done, and we're looking at other opportunities, particularly, in my district, the 5th district, we're actively looking for some areas to expand, and I kind of envision that being more something towards natural resources, where a little more access to the creeks and rivers. I hope that we get this done in the next few months. We're putting in a new, a dock at Abercorn Landing. If you've ever been to Abercorn Landing, there is no dock. It's a great landing, but there's no dock. It's just difficult to get in and out of boats. That is out to bid, and as soon as that comes in, we'll get that issued and get that started. I'm pretty excited about that.
Okay. Well, speaking of water recreation, I understand that the county recently purchased the sand pit on Highway 80 and Sand Hill Road to eventually turn into a park.
Yeah, actually the county has owned that for quite a few years.
Okay.
To the early 2000s. It was a mining location, sand mine. And we've had some challenges there. We've had to do some environmental studies and some mitigation there. But it It's a beautiful, beautiful lake. But so yeah, we have big plans there for from an amphitheater, a community beach, a lake beach, and also fishing. Where we can get that opened up for public fishing and just a lot of opportunity there.
And a nice pavilion so yes. people can yeah. have get-togethers and yep. stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Something great for that area. So yep. looking forward to that.
You know, and something I saw at one of the town halls I went, and I was just amazed, was the interest in running and walking paths. That was a big thing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really grown. And this this summer, my wife and I took my youngest boy and his friend to Baker Pond. I call it Baker Pond. I was amazed at the people out walking on a Saturday afternoon. I just never envisioned that, you know.
Yeah.
But it has become very popular if you've been up there, even at Clarence Morgan. So our plans are for whatever project we're working on is to incorporate some walking trails and yeah. Just some passive recreation.
Commissioner, I heard some rumors about frisbee golf. Is that coming here?
That is. Mm-hmm. That is.
And where did that come from? You get some studies on that or something?
Well, we did. Obviously, before we started these expansions, we did do a countywide recreation study. Had open houses brought in the public, saw what the needs are, and a lot that in particular came from that. Okay. It's very popular. Apparently, very popular. I've never played, but
I see it big.
May have to give it a try.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that we're incorporating some new activities for people, thinking outside the box a little bit, especially with people coming from other areas that might be used to having walking trails as much and as well as the disc golf. So I'm interested to see how that goes, too.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about transportation. Can you discuss that with us a little bit, some of the current and future projects the county has going on or plan?
Yeah,
that we can let the listeners know about.
The obvious is Effingham Parkway.
Yeah,
we're still slated for what looks like a September 25 completion. That's the big one. We have plans to do additional work at Old Augusta Road South, which is Chimney Road
right.
South to 21. We're working on an east-west corridor on the north side of Rincon, tying 21 back into what will be the parkway.
Yeah.
And that's going to include a flyover over the railroad tracks there in the Blanford area, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Pretty robust dream, because bridges and flyovers can be rather expensive. But
yeah.
But we're committed. It's the right solution there.
Yeah.
We are continuing to work through our T-SPLOS list for repaving. I know in the 5th District, we are set to award that bid on the first meeting in November, assuming things didn't push it back a week or two with the storm. But
yeah.
And so there's quite a few. We'll be moving into Hickory Knob area, resurfacing all the county roads in the Hickory Knob area, Nellie Road,
I know what you're talking about. Woodland Drive?
Woodland Drive.
Yeah, Woodland
absolutely.
Drive.
Absolutely. Barney Road is on there. Anyway, there are a lot of resurfacing projects, and so that should be gearing up to get going at the end of this
Good.
Year.
Good. Now, speaking of the 5th District, something I want to bring up. The charrette for the historic overlay, I don't believe Effingham County has ever had a historic overlay that I'm aware of.
No, not a historic overlay. We do have an overlay district in Meldrum.
Uh-huh.
That was mainly due because of the lot sizes. It's just a particularly that community with the size of the lots, it just doesn't fit in the typical zoning. So there is an overlay district there. So this is definitely new. That I think is important for the Ebenezer, and there are other areas countywide we're going to have to implement that. But what better place to start than Ebenezer, where it all started for
Ebenezer? Exactly, you know? Historic, yeah. Ebenezer, absolutely. I think that was a great idea. Now, was that something the commissioners came up with, or is that something Tim Callanan possibly brought up and suggested?
It came up in discussion, and Tim does have some experience with overlay districts.
Yeah.
He put it on the table, and it was definitely something we're interested in.
That's a brilliant idea. Never would have thought of it myself. I mean, that's incredible.
But what it's going to allow us to do is to look at certain areas that have certain characteristics, certain interests that need to be protected, and we can look at that.
Good. And speaking of Tim, with the moratorium that you guys had put in place to be able to make ordinance changes, correct? Changes?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Now, was that something that he came up with or he possibly had influence with?
For sure. For sure. I mean, he knows the zoning ordinance as well. The moratorium is so important because we just need to take the time to step back and breathe and get these right.
Yeah.
With the pressures, obviously, with Hyundai coming along, so much happening in our area, we realized that our ordinance needed some work.
Yeah.
Some wholesale work.
Meaning, yeah.
You know, we really needed to step back and look at all of it as a whole.
Well, good. Hey, that's a lot of positive information you've handed us for the county. We want to thank you for your time, for joining us, Mr. Commissioner Kiefer, and look forward to but before we let you go, I'm sorry, can we ask you about Helene? Can you discuss?
Yes, it's been quite
some
a week
with us
we can
about
all,
that I'm sure everybody wants test. Everybody wants to hear about that.
It has been quite a week. In many ways, we're fortunate as a county because I've seen the destruction that some of our fellow counties to our southwest, and even you get up into North Carolina. But we had predominantly our biggest challenge was the power outages, and I think Georgia Power's done a great job. It was a challenge. I know personally, I was out 7 days and 14 hours to be exact. So,
and you were still out there assisting the county the whole time while you were out power.
Meeting with different constituents in the district that are still, I'm trying to put together volunteer groups what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
A lot of these, we have a lot of older folks that with health issues that they may have trees that aren't threatening them per se, but they need help just cleaning it up, and getting it out of their backyards, things like that. So I'm trying to work with some groups, some church groups, try to get out and help some of these folks that need it.
I just want to say, I think both of you and Yancey have done a terrific job of keeping the community informed of everything that's going on. I mean, I know at my house, we're waiting on the emails from Yancey, tells us what's going on with our kids, and you're constantly seeing posts from you on Facebook letting us know what's going on, what services are open. And I think people get lost in translation sometimes, and they don't realize that commissioners or elected officials, they're humans too, and they have families.
Sure.
And you're sitting there with no power, and you're still trying to run the county with no power, and people are sitting back watching, and thinking, well, can he do more? And you're sitting there with no power. So I think y'all both have done a terrific job, and I just want to say thank you to both of you.
Yeah, I do want to add on that, because I have a lot of people have asked me, and what we've learned as far back as Matthew is communication, centralizing communication is so important. I don't need to be out there saying one thing, other commissioners saying one thing. I've been trying to, for social media purposes, I share the county's information, centralizing it, because the more individuals are trying to get a message out, the more confusing it can be, and it is very
important. Yes, and y'all did a fantastic job with the communication and providing the resources that you could for the county, and thank you again for that. Thank you, Dr. Ford, for keeping us communicated as well. Commissioner Kiefer, thanks again for joining us today. We look forward to having you here in the future. Dr. Ford, we're going to move on to you. Dr. Ford, thank you for joining us today. If you would, give us an overview of your responsibilities as a superintendent.
Well, Tommy, I think it's very similar to, to a CEO that's, overseeing an entire county in regards to, 15,000 students and 2,200 employees. And so the day-to-day work, changes every day. I would say, I'm very blessed. I have a lot of wonderful people around me that are principals, assistant principals, teachers, bus drivers, custodians, district directors that work very closely with me with their departments. And so, on a day-to-day operation standpoint, I work very closely with my principals. I work very closely with my district level directors and supervisors, and we just make sure that we're doing the best job possible to educate our kids. They're our greatest asset, and I'm a product of the FM County School District, and so it's very, very important to me that I give back to all the people that's given to me along the way. And I could have a list of names I could go over, and take us a long time to go through that list of all the teachers and adults when I was in the school district as a student, had an impact on my life. So it's very important that, I continue that legacy. There's been several superintendents before me that's laid a pretty good path to follow, and I think it's important for me to continue to do that.
Yeah. I like the hands-on approach, being out there with the administration and teachers and working with them. It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell people the best job I ever had was being a high school principal, because you're on the front lines with those teachers and students and parents each and every day. I also say it was probably one of the hardest jobs I ever had. But just those relationships that you're able to build that last a lifetime.
Yeah.
And just being able to be a part of seeing those children, especially those ones that may struggle.
Right.
You provide some avenues for them to land back on their feet, and then you see them, after graduation, 5 or 10 years down the road, and they're business owners, or they've went to the military, whatever the case may be. That's where the rubber meets the road, where you know that you're doing what you should be doing, because you see that you've made an impact down the road. And so you can't see that, and you can't do that behind a desk.
Nope.
So I like to be out and about in the schools and in the community, and make sure that, I'm there supporting those ones that's on the front lines.
And, that's part of the reason why I think we have a successful school district, is because it's starting at the top, going all the way down. So everyone's putting in the work ethic that you're putting in at the top. So we appreciate that. That's good leadership. Now, you said 15,000 students?
We're pushing 15. Wow. We're about 14,700 students, pre-K through 12th grade.
And how many schools do we have in the county?
Well, we have 8 elementary schools. Mm-hmm. And, we've broke ground on our 9th elementary school. We have 3 middle schools. We have 2 high schools.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a college and career academy, which serves both of those high schools. Which has our CTAE programs and also our STEM program. And then we have a couple specialty schools. We have Encompass Academy, which is very, very important to us. Those students that go to Encompass for many, many years, those students had to get on the bus for 1 to 2 hours per day one way to Savannah.
Wow.
5 years ago, we were able to bring that home. And then our Crossroads Academy, which is our alternative school.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to ask you about, every now and then I see a new program incorporated in the school. Can you give us some of the vast opportunities our school's system offers to students?
Yeah, I'll try to hit on as many as I can, Tommy. I know that one thing that we've, if you look at different counties across the state and the nation, sometimes they put all their eggs in one basket. Maybe it's athletics, maybe it's CTAE, maybe it's academics. What we've tried to do in FEM County is create opportunities for everyone. And by doing that, You know, you're going to have to really pay attention to what the needs are of the students and really of the community. So I'll start with, you know, as I talked about with our Encompass Academy, those students were getting on a bus and going to Chatham County every single day. And so we felt like it was super important for us to bring those kids home. And I tried to approach it from the standpoint of what if that was my child? Would I want my child going to Savannah every single day for a program that we can offer right here in Effingham? So that's just one example. Our Crossroads Academy, and a lot of people hear, well, that's alternative school. That's just where, you know, students go that may have made a mistake. And that is true. We have students that make mistakes throughout the school day that end up there. But we also have students who might be credit deficient, or maybe the large high school is not a good avenue for them and they just need a smaller setting. And so we're very thankful for the Crossroads Academy and the programs we're offering there. And then our CTAE, you know, we really look at what industry needs. So with the ports and with Hyundai coming in, we really try to make sure that we're offering opportunities. So when students graduate, they may go to college, they may not, but where can they find a job in our area so that they don't have to move away? And so we really try to make sure we pay attention to what the needs of the community are and what the surrounding area is, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's you know, Georgia ports, whether it's logistics. We really want to pay attention to the opportunities that we can create for students so that they'll have opportunities when they graduate high school. You know, we say we want them to be enrolled, you know, after high school, whether they go to a post-secondary institution or enlisted in the military or employed. We want to make sure that they at least can choose from one of those three options whenever they leave Effingham County High School or South Effingham High School.
You're given so many opportunities just to make sure no matter what path they take at the end of the day, they have the choice to be successful.
Absolutely.
They have the tools to go out and be successful.
That's very important to us, giving those kids an opportunity to the American dream. You know, all of them want to be successful.
Right.
Sometimes it takes a student a little bit longer to realize that.
Yeah.
And that's why those relationships are so important.
Wow. Okay. Good. Now, I want to ask you about Reading Across Georgia program. I want to ask you about that. Can you give us a little bit?
Yeah, Reading Across Georgia, I mean, there's a lot of reading programs that that are going on out there, but the literacy initiative is really important statewide. Our state legislators have made it a priority. Literacy and mathematics has always been important to us, but we've really put a lot of efforts in putting literacy at the forefront. And so if you look at third grade reading levels, you know, in Effingham County, we have approximately 82-83% of our students in third grade are reading on grade level. And that's about 20 percentage points higher than the state average. And we're really excited about that, but we also understand that we still have about 17% of our third graders that's not reading on grade level.
Right.
So we have to make sure that we, you know, focus on that process to try to get those students reading on grade level as well, so we can close the gap. If they can't read, sometimes the struggle for them to be, you know, be successful and get good jobs. So we want to make sure that we're continuing to put literacy at the forefront. You know, that pendulum has changed over the years.
I know
when we were in school, was in elementary school, we, you know, phonics was a big thing, and then you know, across the country that kind of went away, and now phonics is back. And so I think it's very important that it is back. I believe in it. I think it's going to be a good thing, and we've continued to see our test scores rise, and that's a testament to our teachers, you know, who are on the front lines every single day taking care of our babies and the students in the class.
Yeah, and you have a great bunch of teachers, administrators. You know, probably the best faculty around as far as I'm concerned. No, I want to ask you about Level Up Effingham. I saw that the other day on your Facebook page and didn't even know you guys were coming out with it. And I was impressed with it. How did y'all come up with that idea?
Well, I can't take full credit for it. You know, Bridget Neesmith, my executive director of curriculum and instruction, she's very good with coming up with ideas and catchy slogans. And so we talked over the summer about, you know, the standard is the standard, and we believe that, you know, we've had a lot of growth in our county. And so one of the things that we wanted to make sure of is, although you know, we're averaging anywhere from 300 to 500 new students per year coming into our district. There's been a standard set in Effingham long before I became superintendent, and so that was something that's very important to us, is, you know, keeping that high standard, that high level of excellence at the forefront. And so Bridget came to me, she said, I got a great idea, let's call it Level Up Effingham. And we kind of modeled it behind, you know, the Super Mario Brothers.
And,
That's kind of been our theme over this year. Yeah. And, you know, we want to remain process oriented instead of just outcome oriented. And what I mean by that is, you have to celebrate the little wins that you have each and every day. And our teachers and, you know, our bus drivers and our cafeteria workers, they all are helping us level up every day. I mean, just even going back to this storm, you know, we took our time getting back in, because if we wanted to have school and we didn't have bus drivers or nutritional workers, it's pretty hard to have schools.
So, exactly.
So, you know, we're asking everybody in everything they do each and every day to level up. Make sure that they're, you know, when they level up, they're making decisions just based on what's best for kids, not necessarily what's best for us adults.
Right.
Sometimes
exactly.
That can get in the way, but as we make decisions, we want to level up so that we're making sure that we're doing the best we can for kids. So, got to give credit to Dr. Bridget Neesmith. She came up with the idea as we were planning this summer to what our focus wanted to be.
Right. Okay. Well, Dr. Ford, thank you for joining us. It's a lot of information, again, that our listeners would be very happy to hear.
My pleasure, Tommy, and I'm just a small piece of this big old puzzle.
Well, thank you for coming on, and we look forward to having you in the future, too.
Thank you.
Ms. Pauline Shaw, thank you for coming out here to beautiful Steelwell Pines and sharing your time with us today. I feel like I could talk to you for a million years. I know we talked on the phone the other day for an hour, and it felt like just a few seconds. And I know we're both very, very passionate about our charitable organizations. And, you know, I just found out about the Navigators in the last year or so. And I will say I've come to some of your events, and it's really touched my heart to be out there with those kids. But I want to hear it from you. I want you to take a couple minutes and tell us what the Navigators are all about and what y'all have been able to do over there.
Okay. Well, the Effingham County Navigator team, we are a support group and non-competitive recreation program for children and young adults with disabilities. And we're probably the best kept secret in Effingham County.
That's right.
I've met a lot of people, and they'll first thing say, I've never heard of the Navigators. But I will say we have grown tremendously, but we continue to offer opportunities and advocate and educate and bring awareness. And I have to say, a few years ago, with the addition of the Josh Reddick Stadium at Clarence Morgan Complex, we started an inclusion revolution here in Effingham County, and it has been modeled across the state of Georgia. We have other programs across the state that is, you know, implementing programs such as ours, and that would not have been possible without the late, great Clarence Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been able to get some bills passed. I do a lot of advocacy work at the Capitol. January through April, I'm typically at the Capitol once a week. But continuing to work with our local legislation here with Representative Bill Hitchens, mm-hmm. Senator Billy Hickman, and Representative Speaker of the House John Burns. And just this past year, we were able to work with Bill Hitchens to get House Bill 499 passed, which is huge, especially for single parents that are raising people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that bill will allow those parents to continue after the age of 18 or 22, whenever they exit the school system, to continue to receive child support,
mm-hmm.
And it not interfere with their state and federal benefits.
That's very important, very important.
That is very important. Also, with Senator Billy Hickman, passed the GAME bill, which is Georgia Model Employment,
mm-hmm.
Encouraging employers to hire people with developmental disabilities.
That's good. That's I'm glad to hear that. That's amazing. You know, something, you know, once I got introduced to the Navigators, I started telling people about it. You know, of course, people started asking me questions. One of the most common questions that, you know, I got about the Navigators was, the upcoming events, you know, can you give us like a layout of what kind of events y'all have coming up?
Right now we are doing baseball, if we could keep Mother Nature from interfering with us, on Thursday nights. But we'll have our, we participate in local parades, but we also will be doing basketball. We do bowling during the summer just because it's too hot for some of our individuals to be outside. So we do something indoors, which is bowling. We do not charge our families for any of those events and participating. We also have our Puzzle Piece Boutique, which is located at the co-op inside Ship It. And we continue to do that. We'll have our awards banquet and our Christmas program. And we just got a lot of new things that are coming that we're looking at doing as well. But we will continue to advocate, educate, and bring awareness so that people know, because the county, I have to give it to these two gentlemen right here, Mr. Kiefer from the county and Dr. Ford, because they have been wonderful. This county is unlike any other county in the state. We're like family.
That's right.
No matter how many people move here, you become part of this family.
That's right.
And the Navigators is just one little part of that. And I handed out everybody a piece of the puzzle, puzzle piece. And I hope y'all keep that in your pocket. And every day, reach in your pocket and just feel that little puzzle and know you're a piece of the puzzle. Because everybody here, everybody in this county is a piece of the puzzle. And it is only when we all put in our piece of the puzzle that we can see the beautiful picture of what inclusion really is. And hats off to the school system for creating Best Buddies. That has brought a lot of awareness. The county has been so supportive in, you know, supporting the Navigators, employing Navigators.
That's right.
You know, we have a couple of them working for the county, and we're just proud of that, and we're proud to be here in Effingham County. Our group is not about segregating any certain population of disabilities. It's all inclusive, but it's also about, and I love that you use the word relationships, Dr. Ford. It's all about relationships, you know. And we started an award that we give out called the Annabelle Shelley Nicholas Milbrandt Inclusion Revolution Award, Scholarship Award.
That's a name.
That is a name, but it embodies a lot. But what it is to encourage and recognize those individuals that do not have a diagnosis that are making a difference in their school system. We had Ms. Jordan Blissett from South Effingham High School and Carson Webb from Effingham County High School, but we pick one from each high school and give them a $500 scholarship.
That's awesome.
To encourage those. But that Best Buddies program that they have going at the schools has really just brought out a lot of kids that want to get involved that don't have disabilities.
Yes, ma'am. I want to circle back on the events. Who all is invited to come to those events?
Every single person in this county. You don't even have to live in this county.
That's right.
We need people to come out there. It don't cost a dime. Come out there and sit in those beautiful bleachers at that beautiful stadium and applaud for those kids and say their name.
Right.
You know, cheer their name. That's what they want to hear. You know, you don't have to donate money. We're not asking you to come volunteer. We're just saying, please come cheer our kids on, because it will bless you far more than it'll bless our kids. I can promise you that.
That's right.
But it is a blessing to our families and to their parents. You know, Mr. Clarence used to say, I'd say, Mr. Clarence, we'll go back there on that little small field. He said, nope, I want you out there on our biggest and best field, because I want them to know that your kids have the right to hear the two words, play ball, just like anybody else.
That's right. It's very important to them, yes.
And now they have the finest field in Effingham County to play on.
And it is envious throughout the state. And let me just add, it is the only complex, Little League Recreation Complex, that has an adult changing station in the men's restroom and the women's, because Mr. Clarence recognized that there are daddies out there doing the same thing that the mamas are doing.
All right.
And so he made sure each restroom had an adult changing station, and that is the only one in the state of Georgia that had made sure that was done.
Yeah, Mr. Clarence was an amazing, amazing person. I hear that the Navigator office is actually moving to clearance, right?
That is right. I was actually a little shocked. I knew we had talked about it, and then I was on the commissioner's Board of Commissioners page one day, and somebody sent it to me. And I went and checked it out, and it said that they're going to allow us to move in Mr. Clarence's old office over there on 119. And I told them, I said, they offered to remodel and everything. I said, listen, I said, biggest thing is we need internet connection, a good internet signal there, because so many of our individuals rely on communication devices and sensory devices. But I just told them, I said, do not touch Mr. Clarence's office, because that is like holy ground to me. But I don't even know that Mr. Kiefer knows this, but in honor of us appreciating all that the county has done for us, the Navigators purchased an adult changing station to put in that gym on 119. Because we don't want to just take from this county. We want to give back. We right. want to be, that's part of being a part of a county right. or a community and being positive. You don't just take, you give back. That's and right. that's what we want to do, and be positive. And that can make such a difference in everybody's life, in just being positive.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I'm sure the community is so thankful for you for your organization. Y'all have done so much. While we have some people representing the county in here, I'd like to hear some of the things that you see as barriers we face as a community as for the handicap.
I think it's mostly awareness and, mm-hmm. and educating people on what those needs are. If you don't have a child with a disability, you don't know. You don't walk in those shoes, so you don't know what the needs are. But I can promise you, I've never went to Dr. Ford and told him something we needed that he didn't make sure happened. You know, my daughter had, my daughter participates with the baseball team at South, and I mentioned to him about needing handicap parking over there at the baseball field. Next time I went over there, he had him over there working on it.
That's right.
So I think it's just making people aware of what those barriers can be. The biggest one is saying their name. You know, a lot of times it's not material things that we need. It's that dignity and knowing their name. It's not the child with Down syndrome. It's not the child with autism. They have a name. Mm-hmm. Call them by their name.
Right.
You know, and it's just bringing that awareness to people. And also about employment. You know, we want our people to be taxpaying citizens, to contribute to the county, to the state, to their federal government, and not take from them. And Dr. Ford, like I said, Dr. Ford and the county has done a great job, but it also blesses the other workers. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever even shared this with you, Dr. Ford, but there was a teacher, Dr. Ford's hired some individuals to work at the schools, at different schools. Mm-hmm. And I seen one of the teachers at an autism conference, and she shared with me, she said, you know, I was about to give up on teaching. I kind of got burnt out. Until she seen one of her students that she had taught in elementary school come back to work in that school. Mm-hmm. And that made such a positive impact on her that she stayed. And now she can continue to bless those kids
right.
and teach them and get them to where those students are at. And so people don't understand is, you know, us parents, we just want our kids to be included. Mm-hmm. We want them to be treated with dignity
That's
and
right.
respect and inclusion. And I think we do a great job. It's all in how you perceive it.
That's right.
And, you know, I want to say, you know, some of the things that I've heard, I've been in IEP meetings with Dr. Ford. And the one thing he'll always say is, do what's right for the child.
That's right.
Yep.
You know, always. And it shouldn't be about whether they can, you know, love don't need any words. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about this county. They show love without any words sometimes, and they go beyond what legally they have to do.
Right.
You know, one thing that Dr. Ford done was made sure each elementary school had an inclusive playground, you know, an adaptive playground. But I loved what he said the day we cut the ribbon on a couple of them. He said, these aren't just adaptive playgrounds, they're inclusive playgrounds. And that's what matters, and mm-hmm. that's what we gotta do, and we gotta teach them from the youngest ones up. You're never too young to learn about respect, about dignity, and treating people fair.
That's right.
And
that's
we right. need more employers in this county to do what the county has set the model for. what Dr. Ford has done to set the model for, and give them the opportunity to, you know, become a tax-paying citizen.
Right. Yeah, they want the same opportunities as the rest of us. You know, Andy one time had to educate me on some handicaps. So you take for granted the things that you have in life that the handicapped don't have until somebody puts in perspective for you and says, hey, look, you know, they can't do this just like you can, but they want to so bad. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, Andy's kind of educated me on some stuff like that. Can you tell us about some of the accomplishments that you have had with handicap improvements in the county?
Well, I kind of mentioned them all. we've come so far. Now, will we ever completely be done advocating? No, because there's always better, bigger and better things you can do. But, you know, the handicap accessible bathrooms. You know, when I walk up to a building, I look, can a person in a wheelchair get in here? You know, does it work for everybody so that everybody is included? But I just think the bills that we have gotten passed between autism insurance reform, you know, medical cannabis, the, you know, House Bill 499, you know, the game, all of those. I have a couple of more that I'm going to be working on that I'll be talking to Speaker of the House Burns about. Just things like you go through COVID or you go through a hurricane, you know, and you realize, wow, this is something that needs to be fixed. But people can't fix what they don't know about. Right. And it's all about the attitude that you approach them with. Mm-hmm. If you keep it positive, then the relationships work better. Mm-hmm. They're willing to hear you more. Instead of going to your, you know, whether it's your county, whether it's your school system, how do you approach that? Mm-hmm. You know, like with my daughter's IEP meeting, everybody thinks an IEP meeting is the most horrible thing, but we celebrate because it's a team getting together, celebrating her accomplishments. And we've all been a part of that. But again, it just comes back to being that piece of the puzzle. And what is that picture going to look like?
That's right. That's right. I really appreciate this piece of puzzle. I'm going to keep this with me. Thank you for your time. Thank you for all that. That's really touching, everything you had to say. Andy, Mr. Andy Hudson. You know, I'm going to turn you loose here in just a few minutes. I don't have a bail, so you're going to be free to roam here, but I just want to ask you a couple cool questions. You know, a lot of smart people in this room, but I do understand that you also have a PhD, correct?
I do have a PhD, and yeah, that's a little comical here. It's a plain high school diploma.
That's right.
And I'm the product of a great school system and a great village that chose to impact me. Mm-hmm. And I'm left with that honor to carry that through.
You know, there's something that some people don't know about you, I know, and I would like to share this about you because I know you got a lot of stuff to share about other individuals in this room. You know, Andy is the engineer or chief engineer for the lift back at the lodge. He's the one who's fabricating all the metal and everything, and he's went through the drawings. I went in while he was drawing, putting all the engineering together there at the lodge, and he's building a lift so we can get handicapped kids from the first floor to the second floor. And I went in, it was like a mad scientist. He had measurements written all over the walls, and I'm looking at him, he's like, yeah, this is going to go here, that's going to go here, you got to look at this. And so, you know, I got a lot of respect for Andy. He definitely has blown my mind with the work he's done on the lift back at the lodge. Andy, I know you want to, you know, lay in on your company, Ironclad Industries, and I understand you got some things you want to talk to the Dr. Ford and the commissioner about. So I'm just going to let you go ahead with that.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me be a part of this great time that we have. I can only commend the three to my left, Ms. Pauline, Dr. Ford, and Phil. Y'all have chosen the best way of making a difference. Y'all have chosen to impact over impress. You know, we can impress with the things that we have, but they're very temporal. They very much left that we don't have a whole lot when we try to impress, but when we try to impact, when we try to not only reach out, but we take a few more minutes to reach down. I want to say that's most important here in our community. Yes, I am that product of Effingham County Schools. My school system came up in a time of segregation, was right at the very tail end, and it was challenging. But one thing about Effingham County, there's more that binds us than divides us.
That's right.
We're a loving community. I was given the privilege, even to this day, to serve on different committees with the school teachers, in which impacted me. Some impacted me, some corrected me. Because I grew up with ADD, if anybody don't know what that is, that's attention defiance disorder. And my teachers would take the BELT and drive most of that ADD out. But they didn't get it all out. But I will say, I lived the American dream. I heard earlier Dr. Ford talked about success. First, we must understand what success is. And one of my best definitions of success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. It's the individual that says, you know, I want to go after this. They don't let fear cripple them, the fear of failing. Because we must fail, because without failure, there's no success. We need not let doubt become our traitor. We doubt the good that can win. I know my school teachers from the time I started first grade in Springfield all the way up. They took a vested interest in me. Even some of the school bus drivers took a vested interest in me. They seen me at my best, and they also seen me at my worst. I know at my father's passing, I was 7 weeks away from turning 15. And one of the men who instrumental in making me who I am today, he taught me how to have a servant's heart. And he still lives in our community today. And his name was Mr. Cornell Mock. He knew I wanted to be more than what I was. But I had some things that I had to work through. I know he put me in his Isuzu pickup truck and he drove me to my first job. It was a rite of passage during those times to work for a family here in the community, Ijim Webb's mom and daddy, Mr. Henry. They were tough, but it was a rite of passage to work for them because they taught us integrity. They taught us a work ethic. And I made $2 an hour. Back in those days. And as I progressed into a grown man, I skipped school 2 days before I graduated. I went to Savannah, Georgia, and I found me a place to go to work for. Subsequently, I took that craft and I lived today the American dream of what I purposely wanted to do. But it took this community to make Andy. Andy didn't make it on his own. We had just great school teachers. So in that, within the sound of my voice, I hope there's an Andy out there. I hope there's a Phil out there, and I hope there's a Yancey, and I hope there's a Pauline, and I hope there's a Tommy, and I hope there's a Frank. Because we live in the greatest country in the world. Make no doubt about it. We hear from some people that, well, our young people are sorry, and they don't want to work, and they this and they that. Well, I'm the minority report. I'm on the outside looking in. I'm not on the battle line of Dr. Ford. Yes, I sit in the county commissioners' meetings and I see the immense, insurmountable odds that they are up against sometimes trying to figure out what to do. And ma'am, I have never been to your place of bringing hope where hope has been deferred. Where hope seems to be not present in the minds and the hearts of those children. We all have value. For me, I was given that value much early in life. I set a course in my craft to be the very best in my industry. To this day, it ain't about Andy. I hope to inspire our young people. For if Andy can do it, anybody can do it.
That's right.
In this great America, You don't have to compete. You have to create. When everybody else goes to the left, be of great courage. Be bold in your actions and go in the opposite direction. I had the privilege 2 years ago. I bided my time and patience, and I waited, and I never asked Dr. Ford for anything. I waited, and it came one day out of surprise, out of left field. I'm in Lowe's, and a gentleman that works for the school board system, there's a day and a half away from graduating the next class, and the podium was broke, and he didn't know what to do, and the maintenance department was clueless. So he said, Andy, you're not a vendor of ours, and you're not a we don't know how you're going to get paid, but listen, Effingham County High podium is broke, and we need your help. Would you help us? Well, let me tell you, that's a small token of what was given to Andy. I couldn't wait to get out there with me and my people and make a difference, because I remember those men and women who made sure that Andy was taken care of. My fondest memories were some of the, I had a school teacher named George Patton Ron. He doted on me, I don't know why, but he doted on me. I worked for him making cutting Christmas trees and all, and back in those days we could do things a little different. He would give me $5 and I would go to, he'd give me a pass. We could, I know Dr. Ford, you can't do that today. But he would give me a pass to get out of school, and I'd go to Springfield to the post office and get his mail. It was always on this particular day of the month. And he'd give me $5, and I'd stop and get me an RC and him an RC and two moon pies, and I'd make it back to the school system. But I definitely am blessed beyond measure of our school system, what we're doing. I see that from the men and women who come to work for me, and there are some that has children, and they can't wait to get, the children can't wait for their daddy's check so they can get some of the things in which they like and in which they desire. We impact one child at a time, and we do it through not only employment, but we do it through reaching out and reaching down. And our county is the most loving county that any one person could ever live. As I might have already said before, I'm the richest man in my county, but don't look at my checking account or the home in which I live in.
Right.
And so for that, my cup runneth over.
Well, thank you so much, you know, for coming on here and sharing that with us. I know listening to you, you know, over the years, you have so many stories that you could tell, and we could go on and on and on. And you know, you're very inspiring, and that's why you're here. You know, we got a few minutes left. Do you want to open it up so maybe we can?
Let's just have a roundtable discussion on something that I think everybody has in common, and what I think that is our youth. Everybody sitting here seemed Absolutely. To be concerned about our youth, and we should be, all of us are. So I guess one thing we can sit here and we can talk about is, what are some ideas that we can incorporate with the Navigators to help our youth at a younger age in the school system and just in general? And I'll let you start if you're okay with that. Give it us some ideas of what we can do to help start this at an early age, to where when they're 3 years old, there is no difference.
I'll be happy to start that. And I can tell you, one of the biggest problems that we probably ever faced, and it was a great problem to have, was when we started the inclusion revolution. It was the result of one of the high school baseball teams wanting to come out there and work with the Navigators. Well, then the other high school wanted to come out there and be a part of it too, and you just can't put but so many people on the field. And it had great results because, you know, some of the navigators ended up being involved in both of those high school programs. And it's just led, it's bled over to soccer, you know, to football. But now what we have is the little league teams. Like every week that we play ball, we have like some of the little league baseball teams out there. And believe it or not, they start getting on the calendar a year ahead of time. And it's helped them, and it's helped like Best Buddies. That's those kids that's gone back and signed up to apply to be in the Best Buddies program so that they can continue with those relationships. But, you know, just bring your kids out there. You don't have to be on a baseball team to come out there, you know, and work with the navigators and be involved with them. But we don't want kids to be afraid. We don't want kids to think because a child may not be able to talk that they can't have a relationship with them. My daughter and her two best friends, she probably has not ever carried on a full conversation with her two best friends. But like they say, love doesn't need words.
Right.
That's right. All right. That's right.
She can tell they care.
Right. And
so that's all that matters.
It overcomes that fear of somebody that doesn't have a diagnosis. So when you have a child at three and they're around somebody, such as my daughter, you know, they just become more comfortable with them, you know, and there's less questions and there's less fear. You know, the older we get, fear seems to take over a little bit more. When you're younger, you do those dangerous things, which I'm sure your ADD, Mr. Andy, kept you busy. But, you know, let's get them overcoming that fear of being around somebody that may rely on a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Like I know Frank has a young lady from the Navigators in with the Rainbow Girls, you know, and
Angel.
Yep. Yeah. And I have a picture of Angel when we had baseball and Val was out there.
Yeah.
She wears his chain that he gave her. But those relationships, and that's why I like the younger kids coming out there, because when the high school kids was out there, you're limited to how many years you have to spend with them.
Right.
So if we can start those relationships earlier, they're going to last longer and they're going to make much more impacts in this community.
Awesome. Okay. Dr. Ford.
Yeah, Tommy, I would like to just, I know the question was related to, you know, at an earlier age, but I feel like if the listeners out there today don't get anything from what we talked about today, if they'll just get this, one of the things that we have been blessed by at the Board of Education, whether it's at the school level or at the district level, you know, they give these children, adults, an opportunity. If you're a business owner or you're a manager or you're a CEO, they are not adults with disabilities. They're adults with abilities. And, you know, Pauline gives us all this puzzle.
Yeah.
I promise you, if you will reach out and hire one of these individuals, and we've hired several in our school district, they are the missing piece. I'm telling you, they're the missing piece. They come to work every day. They're happy.
Yeah.
They bring joy to the workplace. And they work hard. And they actually add worth to our school district, and they'll add worth to your place of business as well if you'll just give them an opportunity. And they're tax-paying citizens.
Yeah.
And they give back. As Pauline said, they pay state taxes when they work for you. They pay federal taxes. And then hopefully one day they can stand on their own. And they want to be successful too, and they want to have access to the American dream. So I challenge all of you that's listening today, if you're a business owner or a manager, give them an opportunity. If you don't have one of these students with abilities working for you, you will be blessed in ways that you've never been blessed before.
Thank you. Yeah.
So we're down to about a minute left, but I do, before we get out of here, I do understand that Ms. Pauline, you have a very important announcement that you want to make. Some of the people in the room aren't even aware of this yet, but I would like to give you the opportunity as we finish off the show to tell us what's coming.
Well, I think we do have a meeting about it tomorrow with the City of Springfield, but I am very happy to announce that the Navigators is going to have its own parade through the City of Rincon. The City of Springfield. I'm sorry. But the City of Springfield is going to allow us to do a lighted Christmas parade, so it'll be on December 7th. We're looking for other organizations, schools, bands, you know, county officials. We want it to be about community.
That's right.
You know, and brighten up our community with inclusion. And so we're going to light it up. We're going to have a great time, and we're going to bring some awareness, but we're going to put some smiles on some people's faces. So, you know, I encourage, if you got, you know, if you want to be a part of this parade, you know, come celebrate with us, and let's, you know, let's show what Effingham County is all about.
Yeah, I wanted to add too, on top of the last conversation, my family was blessed that we have a nephew with special needs, and so my kids are fortunate to have grown up, you know, being more understanding of it, and I've tried to teach them to be that bridge with their friends and kind of grow it from there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what we need more. And it grows quickly. And I know the Navigators are doing a good job of that.
Well, thank you.
So I just want to thank everyone for coming here today. Don't get out of here before I get you some t-shirts. We got some t-shirts made up for y'all. Thank you for everything y'all had to say today. It's very touching. And hope to have y'all on here again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.